The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing going on outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. First time that you're here, but come on up to the front if you would. Sky will lead you. And you can have a seat right here in the front pew. So, good morning. Are you awake yet? Huh? Kind of awake, bright and early this morning. I wonder how many of you have rules at your house? Huh? Do you have rules at your house? What's your favorite rule? What's your favorite rule? Do you have one, Skye?
Not running in the house.
That's not allowed, so you can't run in the house. Can you run outside the house? Yeah, it's only just inside the house. What's your favorite rule? You don't have a favorite rule? Do you have a rule about what time it is to go to bed?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you like that rule? No. 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 Well, when I had kids in the household, I had two that was okay, and one that would stay up all night if you let her stay up. Yeah. Well, you have rules there, and those rules are something to help you. They're there to help you have a good life, help you to be healthy and well in life. And parents give you rules. They're good things for you because your parents love you. That's the good news about those rules. Your parents love you. And so they want you to learn how to live a life that's well-disciplined, huh? That you have rules that help you to live life. And as you grow older, those rules become just a part of your life. You learn how to live life in those ways. So in the same way as your parents, God gives us rules, or God gives us laws. He gives us guidance in how to live life. And in that same way, God gives that so that we live a healthy life. Huh? They protect us
So remember, when your parents are giving you a rule that you don't like, they're doing it because they care about you and they love you. That's what those rules are there to help you live life well. Amen. You can return to your seats. Thanks for coming up today. We are into the regular schedule of the academic year, and this being Labor Day weekend, it is traditional to signify this is the time when summer is really over, irregardless of whether the actual season is over. And so I have a question. Have you established healthy habits for yourself and for your household in this time of year? Have you established healthy habits for yourself and your household? Healthy habits are those practices that lead towards one well-being in all its dimensions. Brushing your teeth is one habit that you might establish. Getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep is another one. Getting up and going to school, going to class, or going to work is another one. That's a good habit to have. There are two keys to success at Purdue, two key habits. For those of you who are Purdue students and are new, I'm going to tell you how to succeed at Purdue. And here it is. These other people have heard these many times before, but they are two. Go to class, do your homework. Who would have thought? I'm told by professors that anyone who does those things usually has at least a B. And there is maybe a third one, that is, if you don't really understand what's going on in class, talk to the professor. They really want you to succeed here. So some things are tougher than others for us to get. But if you develop those two habits, they will help you to be successful. Healthy habits initially come to us as rules, as laws, things that are outside of ourselves that we learn to practice. I will tell you that I detest making my bed. It always seemed like such a waste of time to me because you were just going to go back and get in it anyway later that day. Why should you do this? But I have another thing that I like order. And I liked neatness. So I had to make a rule for myself that whenever I got up, the first thing I did in the morning was I made my bed. So that was a rule, a law kind of thing, kind of a personal quality sort of thing for me. But because I've done that for so long over time, it just becomes habitual. I do that. I do that when I'm away. I do that when I'm in a hotel and I know somebody's going to come and change that bed anyway. It's just a habit. I suspect that sometimes they wonder, did anybody sleep here last night? But that's just become a habit for me. Rules help us to be successful. Purdue wants students to be successful. The 4-year graduation rate is important. The 6-year graduation rate is important. And in coming to Purdue, success is learning and graduating. That's what success would look like. Robert Hershberger runs a lab. And Dee is here because, and Robert isn't because she gave him the illness she had last week, which was very thoughtful of her to share that with Robert. But Robert operates a lab, and he will tell students,
I don't care if you learn anything in my lab. My rules are here so that you survive. Because, you know, there are some pretty dangerous things that could happen to you in this lab. And that's my level of concern, is I want you to survive. He also tells students that if they get injured, he really doesn't care. But if they get injured, he has to fill out paperwork, and he hates to fill out paperwork. So don't get injured, okay? Well, God wants us to be successful too, and that definition of success would be fruitfulness. In Genesis 1:28, it tells us that God blessed the man and the woman and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." It is the idea of taking what God has given to us and making it better, both in quality and in quantity. So God gives out this call to us to bear fruit. And the call of creation is for everyone. God calls all of us into lives that are fruitful. Now, God has invested God's self in our fruitfulness. And this fruitfulness is also a fruitfulness for the whole creation. Now, the problem is we have to deal with sin. We have a broken relationship with God. The trusting, loving, creative relationship with God was broken by human disobedience. And this sin is like a force of gravity. It's a force of gravity to make us focus in on ourselves. It is a kind of self-centeredness. And the power of sin becomes habitual. And life is all about me. And all about making myself great. I am the most important person in the world, at least to me. It draws us in, draws our attention in. But the teaching we hear, the teaching of Moses we hear in Deuteronomy, begins with this crucial point. It redirects our desire toward God. God says to his people, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods." God is to be our focus. And then he also says, "And you shall not covet anything that is your neighbor's." On those two, we hear God's desire for us to have a whole, complete relationship, first with God, and secondly, with our neighbors. God's choice of Israel is the beginning of God's transforming human desire from evil to good, from rivalry to harmony, from conflict to peace. That's why the law is teaching us, is seen as wisdom and God's justice. It sets the table for God's people to be fruitful. God is invested in our fruitfulness, and this investment is more than a desire for ritual practice. The conflict in today's gospel between the Pharisees and Jesus' disciples is over the practice of washing hands. Now, this is not a concern about germs. We have a concern about germs, but their concern in all of this is ritual practice. It's a ritual kind of cleanliness that they're speaking of. It's something that we're not as attuned to physically as Christians as what some other groups are. But if you go over and visit the Islamic Center on campus, you will find that they have rooms set aside so that you can wash your feet. before you go into worship. It is this kind of practice that the Judeans had in Jesus' day, that it would be a ritual hand-washing practice, and they did that to honor God. What Jesus has a conflict with that is, it's not enough. Jesus quotes Isaiah and says, "These people honor me with their hands, but their hearts are far from me." I know if you were paying attention, that text says, "These people honor me with their lips." But this was really what Jesus was applying that to, was these people honor me with their hands, but their hearts are far from me. We have to understand, in Jesus' day, the heart was seen as the location of human will and the intention. Not simply emotional place like we do today, but as he uses hearts, as we hear it in the Old Testament, it might be more like we would use both heart and mind. That talks about our total commitment to God. So God desires clean hearts, not merely clean hands. And Jesus calls us into a deeper transformation, into a deeper faithfulness. He comes to redeem us even from the depth of our hearts caught in sin. This is the work of the cross. This is why he goes to the cross, so that we might be freed, so that we might be cleansed of even that sin that dwells in our hearts and minds. So listen. Listen, God is calling. God is calling us to fruitfulness in our lives. And this way of life is focused on God's grace, mercy, and peace. The Holy Spirit takes that work of the cross and makes it alive in us. And he transforms us for people who are constantly wanting, who are constantly never having enough, constantly focusing on ourselves, so that we open up to others. The basis of all those evil things that Jesus speaks about, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, evil, envy, slander, pride, and folly, is seeing oneself as the victim. When you see yourself as the victim, you're always in need, you're always jealous, you're always envious, you're always resentful of what other people have. You keep harboring grudges in your heart. And it is those things that you harbor deep in your soul that cause these kinds of outcomes to come. But Jesus frees us from being the victim of the sin of the world to be children of the kingdom of God. We receive this new perspective by faith, by simply trusting. Trusting that God wants us to be fruitful, not resentful. That God wants us to be loving, not hateful. That God wants us to care for one another as God cares for us. And we do that when we have hearts cleansed by that love of Christ in the cross. Healthy faith habits draw us out of our self-centeredness and into service to God and people. Every week we have in the bulletin this sheet. This week it happens to be green. Other weeks it's other colors. But these are really what you might say are healthy faith habits. They may come across initially as law to you, but as you practice those, they become a kind of habitual way of living out your relationship with God. And this is produced by Milestones Ministry. And what they have discovered as they have studied growing faith and passing on the faith is that these four practices of caring conversations, devotions, service, and rituals and traditions are four key faith practices to growing your faith and for passing on the faith. There are other kinds of faith practices as well, but these are the key ones to practice. These are written so that you can practice them in a household. They are written with a bend to the fact that there might be children in the household of various ages, but they are such that adults can kind of translate some of that too into adult kind of thinking as well. So each week we invite you into habitual faith practices so that we might go deeper into the way of Christ. Now, if you do these things, you don't get a star on your record. In our membership books, we don't get a special check mark that you've done this. Really, the importance of these is that they help you to bear fruit in your lives. One specific one I want to mention to you today is the idea of service. This happens to be Labor Day weekend. And as Christians, we can think about one way of service that we all have is our daily work. And if we do our daily work on the basis of law, I'm compelled to do this, or I must do that, our daily work becomes drudgery. But if we do our daily work and see it as what God is calling us to, a fruitfulness that we do it to serve God, to give thanks and praise to God, and we do it to serve our neighbor. There's almost all kinds of work can fit into that kind of perspective, unless that work happens to be illegal, immoral, or unethical. Our daily work does serve God and serve others, whether you're washing dishes at a restaurant, or whether you're the president of the university, whether you're retired and you say, well, I don't get up and do any daily work now, well, maybe it's not the same, but there is a sense that God has a calling for you to still be fruitful. And that daily work done to the praise of God really lifts that burden of drudgery so that we do it not out of a must, we must do this, but rather we do it because we get to do this. It is God's call in our life to fruitfulness. So think of that service. Whatever your daily work is, daily work for young people may be that of going to school and learning. That's the daily work that's there. So remember that service. Jesus sets us free from our self-centeredness so that we can live fruitful lives today and forever. Practice the faith. Wherever you are, be fruitful people in the grace of God. Amen.